Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Let us pray. God, we come to hear your Word, so you may speak through us. Open our eyes to see you as you are. Open our ears to hear you as you speak. Open our hearts to receive your care and your challenge, that we might be your faithful disciples. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. Listen to God's word. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." The second scripture today is from the book of Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. "Now the apostles and the brothers and the sisters who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, 'Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?' Then Peter began to explain it to them step by step, saying, 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in the trance I saw a vision. There was something with a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profound or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everyone was pulled up to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Sierra arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a difference between them. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remember that the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could not hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Thank God." Then God gave everyone to the Gentiles and the repentance that the leaders leads our life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In the early days of the spiritual movement that we now think of as the early church, the followers of Jesus were pretty much all people who shared Jesus' Jewish faith. The followers of Jesus, those who believed that he had been resurrected from the dead for the salvation of the world, didn't see themselves as Christian, as members of a different religion, but as Jewish people who follow Jewish laws and traditions, and who understand that what had happened was a piece of the story of how God relates to God's chosen people. But little by little, experience by experience, that understanding was challenged, like in the experience Peter is telling his fellow apostles about in Acts chapter 11. While on a mission of preaching and teaching, Peter received a vision during prayer. In his vision, he saw a large sheet coming down from heaven, and on that sheet were a bunch of different animals that one might use for food. Only on that sheet were a mix of animals, including some that Jewish people are forbidden to eat as a part of their unbroken covenant with God. Yet a voice that Peter understood to be the voice of God spoke and told him to go ahead and eat all the food, whether it is spiritually clean or unclean. And now that may sound like no big deal to us. It would have been shocking to Peter, and even more shocking to his peers in this new Jewish movement, the ones to whom he is telling this story, since they didn't get to hear it themselves. This is not the kind of thing they would expect a divine voice to be telling them. But the story doesn't even stop there. After receiving this vision, the Spirit tells Peter to go to the home of a Roman centurion, someone who isn't Jewish, but in fact, someone who is a part of an oppressive enemy government, someone who definitely doesn't keep the same food laws that Peter and the others would be expected to follow, and someone who does not bear in his body the sign of the covenant God keeps with God's people. All in all, this whole report was shocking. The vision, the words of the voice from heaven, the call to visit a Roman in Caesarea, the visitation of the Holy Spirit on that Roman, a foreigner, someone unclean and uncircumcised. It's not what any of them were expecting. It's not how they thought the good news was going to spread. It's not to whom they thought the good news would go. And Peter, a leader in this movement, the early church that we know it becomes, is trying to tell this story to explain what would feel inexplicable. He knows it's going to be surprising to his fellow leaders. He knows it's going to be hard to understand for other people who have been following and listening and learning. But he also knows that he had no choice but to do what he did. He knows so clearly and so certainly the divine source of his vision and the teaching, his calling, his actions, the sharing of the good news that took place. He knows it was a voice from heaven. He knows there was a message for those beyond his expectations. He knows the Spirit told him to go, and he is certain that the Holy Spirit fell on these people, the same Holy Spirit that he and the other apostles had received at the beginning of their ministry. He knows that the same grace he received could not be withheld from others. As he tells them all of this, it silences them. All of them, all the apostles who have gathered in Jerusalem, they are silenced by what they have heard. Any of them who might have pushed back, any who might have doubted the centurion was worthy, the Romans, all Gentiles, they were all quiet. Because in hearing the story, they knew too. They knew that this spirit that was driving them was not under their control. their comfort zones, their traditions, their expectations weren't the only way the world was going to be welcomed into the ever-expanding covenant of God's grace. The Spirit blows where it chooses, as Jesus says in the Gospel according to John. And what Peter tells them and what he tells us is that it's our work to get out of the way. Getting out of the way does not mean sitting on the sidelines, though. It doesn't mean we hide in our homes or in some room or even in our churches, insulated and separated from the work God is doing in the world. Getting out of the way means that we recognize the same Spirit that blesses us, that welcomes us, that calls us to repentance and forgives us. The Spirit that sends us is going to do some very unexpected things in order to bless the whole world. And we can, in fact, we must join that Spirit. Peter's report to his fellow apostles, the report of his vision and that ever-expanding reach of the Holy Spirit is particularly relevant to our worship today. This morning, we are ordaining and installing new officers, both elders and deacons for our congregation. And while the first apostles didn't have the same structure that we do, and an organization for governance was probably the farthest thing from their minds, I can't help but imagine this whole story as a meeting of the session of the first church of Jerusalem, maybe, or a gathering of their board of deacons after worship. Peter has come back from his missionary activities, and he needs to report on what's taken place to his fellow leaders. Well, friends, you're never going to believe what happened. He says that before diving into this unbelievable story. And when he's done and they all end up praising God, I imagine then someone reluctantly raises their hand and says, well, now how are we going to tell everybody else about this? Because if I had a nickel for every time I've been a part of a church leadership meeting that's had that conversation, it would be enough for the whole noisy offering. It's not uncommon for the Spirit to move our leaders in ways that are unexpected. It's not uncommon for the group to get together and think they're just going to plan a regular year with the regular traditions and the usual worship services and the same mission partnerships we all know and love, only to find the Spirit of God has something entirely different up her sleeves. And so then it's not uncommon for them to need to wonder how they're going to explain the unexpected to everyone else. It can be pretty scary for the Peter in the group who needs to report back an experience of God's leading in a new direction. It can be pretty scary for the other leaders who are having their knowledge and their experience challenged with a new idea. It can be pretty scary as they think about how they are going to tangibly communicate an experience of intangible divine wisdom, how they're going to share what they have discerned as the next right step for the people of God to take together, to get out of the way where the Spirit chooses to go and to follow that way, to be a part of the good news of Jesus Christ in the world. It can be scary. And that's why we take the time, like we're going to today in our worship service, to lift these leaders up. Not because they are better than any of the rest of us, but because they are taking on the work of leading in unexpected ways and places and directions. That's why we recognize they have a particular call with a particular weightiness to a particular service in a particular time. It's why we ask them questions about in whom their leadership is grounded, on what sources of strength and wisdom and knowledge they will lean. It's why we respond as a whole congregation, saying that we will pray for them in their work. We will receive their care and love. We will listen to their decisions. We will honor their discernment. This whole thing we are a part of, this movement of the followers of the way of Jesus, our Christ, this Christian faith, and this particular congregation of First Presbyterian Church of Allentown, all of this is a participation in the abundant life of Jesus. When we believe that the same gifts given to us are given to the whole world. All of this, it carries the good news when we resist the urge to hinder God's expansive welcome. And all of this works when we let ourselves be open to the unexpected movement of the Spirit of God in ourselves and throughout the world. Through our prayers, through our worship, through our community, and through our leaders, may it be so. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.